You ever had the? You ever heard this phrase? This is a kicker to me. You know that guy, that girl? She's 80% trustworthy. Is there such a thing? You know that doctor I got is 65% trustworthy. Okay. You ever done that? That lawyer I've got is 12% trustworthy. I'm sorry. That was too easy. I had to do that. When you think trustworthy, it's, I hate to say this, like pregnancy, isn't it? It's, you're either pregnant or you're not. You're either trustworthy or you're not. You're a liar or you're not, correct? Okay, we got it. So what I want to do is this is easy, okay? I'm going to use the big board here, okay? I already got trust down. I am to trust. It's great to have somebody I can trust, somebody who's going to be there, somebody I can rely upon. But you give me some other words. Trust to me and studying for this morning is a lot deeper than it was days ago when I wasn't studying this. And it's caused me to think after this many years in Christ a different way about this. That's why we're doing this, okay? Give me another word. Give me another word that stands out for trust.
Love.
What is that?
Love
is trust. Love? He said, hold on, I got to write down now. Hold it. Mike's a little slow. I heard dependable. I like that. Dependable. Okay. What?
Truthful.
Hold on. This is great. Truthful. Okay, good. Loyal, I like. I heard integrity. Okay, this is where I want to go with it. I want you to see this list. Integrity. Got another one? Hold it. Wow, who said that? Karen. Karen's throwing her voice, okay? You know, Bob says non-judgmental, but listen carefully to this. The fact of the matter is, if you've ever had a friend who, no matter what you did, and we admit we screw up, right? Do we make mistakes and mess up? Yes, we do. Some of us more frequent than others, and in the course of our life, we've had seasons of messing up. And how great it is when that one person sticks with us who knows our flaws, knows the deepest, darkest part of me, knows my tendency when I fall. Catching what I'm saying? And if I'm saying this in the faith, within the confines of a relationship with Christ, somebody who actually accepts me, even though I just, not just a little bit, I royally messed up. I mean big mess up. Like maybe blew my family up. That kind of messed up. Maybe blew my business up. That kind of mess up. But that person's always been there for me. And they talk straight to me. Help set me straight. So this non-Bob or Karen, whoever threw their deep voice this way, non-judgmental, really, I'm not sure I see that so much, Bob, in the church people. I'm sorry. Okay, another word? Okay. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're right. I'm sizing them up, and yeah, you are too, and you decide whose wallet's worth taking. Yeah, me too. Okay, good. Let's keep going here. Another word that isn't on my board that I need to have up for us. Yes, Maria?
Honesty.
Such a lonely word. Everyone is so... I'm sorry. David?
Action.
Wow. I had not had that thought. That's good. Okay. Track record. That's a TR record. Okay, good.
Faith.
Okay. Oh, man, who said that? Karen again? Karen. It did sound a lot like Karen. Okay, very good. Thanks, Karen. Okay, you getting the idea here? Hold this thought. We're going to come back to this in just a couple of minutes, I promise you. You know, when I was a young whippersnapper and thought about having children, oh, by the way, some of my children are visiting today, which is so good. Beth and Noah are here from Raleigh, and it wouldn't have mattered to us if they came, but they brought the three grandkids, which is really cool. So I got, see, my wife is real mature at the house, and you can't do much playing or anything because you don't want to break anything. But now that the kids are here, it's open season. I've got playmates, so we're having a good time. And that's about true, isn't it? We're having a good time with Grandpa and them. But you know, before my daughter was born, I thought to myself that I wanted to be a good parent. Now, this is deeply serious to me, because I had some parentage in my background that was really not good. And the parts of it that I can remember was this. Hey, Dad, can we do this? And they'd say, yes. And then when it came up to whatever, it never happened. It never followed through. And a lot of those words on the list, like dependability and action and honesty, weren't taking place. So I determined that when I found that girl in my dreams and we started having kids, that I would be a parent that was trustworthy and would stand by his word. Since my daughter's here, stop, okay. Let's have a little fun with this, all right? My boys would jump and do anything as youngsters. They were just kind of on the wild side, and I promoted that, I admit that. But when you have a little girl is just the best, okay? She knows where she stands with me, don't you? Up until now. Okay, so when she was a little girl, about 5 or 6 or whatever, the boys were jumping. Even the younger one at 3 was jumping off a high dive. But she was very tentative about stuff. She was tentative about first expressions of activity and had to be prodded to go out, go this, that. And I can remember being in the pool with hers near the side of the pool saying, Beth, jump in. I'll catch you. And she would stand at the edge, and she just couldn't bring herself to do that. So, and if you know the inner workings of Mike's mind, it's this bad. When I finally got her to the edge of the pool, and I was like, just fall forward, I will catch you. Just come on, you can do it. And she said, Dad, I don't know, Dad, I don't know. And something in my mind clicks, and I started doing this. Well, you know, we got one of the two alligators out of the pool this morning, but I'm just not so sure we got the other one. And she'd go like that. And now you can understand we're at a pool, all right? And I said, and the other thing is when it rained last night, I heard that a couple of sharks got in here, but don't worry, they're at the end of the pool. They won't come over here. I'm the one standing in the water telling these stories. And with each time she'd get to the edge, I'd embellish a little bit more, and she'd freak out and move back. And I would giggle at myself that I made that happen to her. And then I'd take another 10 minutes to get her up to the edge of the pool, and then I'd bring up another animal or creature, like a snake that was in the pool. And it would freak her out, and she would back up. All the way up to her 19th birthday, this went on, and it was amazing stuff. But being serious, and you remember those days, I know. Being serious, though, the reality, I think if you grabbed my kids individually and shined a big light in their face and you said, was your dad trustworthy? They would say this, that everywhere he could have been, he kept his word. I think. Okay, I'm just priming you for the funeral message, okay? That'd be nice if you could repeat it kind of just like that. Okay, that'd be good. But the point is, it was very important, and because of that, through the years, and this daughter in particular, the only one I got, but this one in particular, okay, there was such a trust factor that we have sought each other out for conversation. While she's visiting, we will try to sneak out and get a coffee, because we still have that relationship of trust with each other. And that's gone on into, and I will not say what birthday just passed last week, but 40 is in sight, from what I heard, my dear. Okay, so with that said, I didn't say nothing. I want you to know that the way I trust a person, look at that board, that wall there, the things that I got on that wall that just, man, are you telling me I could get another person that would operate that way with me? Non-judgmental? Where do I sign up for that? Where would somebody be my friend and be on that level? And if you put that all in the human confines where we've got it now, then what you do is you turn the page, you understand this, that Christ is desiring the same uncompromising relationship of trust in Him in every single facet of our lives. And I'm going to tell you this morning, honest, before I really get going on this. I am trusting Jesus. I am trusting God. 94% of the items and the issues in my life, He's got them all. Because there's still a small segment that I struggle with to trust Him. How about that for transparency? I'd like to tell you I'm walking so perfectly in fellowship and trust with Him. But the truth of the matter is, I struggle to trust Him. Because I'm wired this way. I will take care of it. And a lot of you are too. With that said, let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that You would deepen our understanding and our concept. And just, Father, help us to deepen our relationship with You by trusting in You. Unquestionable trust in You for every single facet of our lives. Father, use this time this morning to draw us so close to You that when we walk out of here, we walk out different than the way we came in. For it is in Your Son's name we ask this. Amen. Before we get into our scripture, which is John chapter 14, if you want to get your device, your Bible, whatever, and go looking at it, it's also on the wall. You need to understand what was going on before this, because the group of the apostles and Jesus, I really believe, had their trust rattled. And here's what I think caused that. First of all, there was an argument going on between the apostles. You know why? They had finally started to understand that Jesus was going to be the conquering king and take over. And say that they were arguing as to who was the best. Who was the one that was the most developed and the greatest? So in Jesus' kingdom, they can have the highest place. I'm going to be a 2-star general. No, you're wrong. I'm going to be a 5-star general. And this is the kind of discussion that was going on. I'm not sure they spoke just like that, but you get the idea. And then you see in John 13, right before this, that the betrayal of Judas was already in motion. Things were starting to take place there. In John 13, you also see this, that Christ talked about leaving them. And the guys were upset about that. And in John chapter 13, Jesus also said that Peter was going to deny Him. This is not going in a good direction. This does not help me to settle anything. And some of this left these guys discouraged. So we get to John 14, verses 1 to 6. Look at it with me. It's on the wall, whichever way you're facing. And you can say it, so look at it with me. And Jesus says this to them, in light of all that I just said and probably a lot more. Oh, by the way, and just like me and you, they had problems, I'm sure, at home. I'm sure they had problems with their kids. Hold it, I'm not done. Problems with their job because they keep leaving it to go walking around and traipsing around with Jesus. There's issues. And by the way, they all had mother-in-laws and sick parents. And you get the idea. All of that is within the apostles. And Jesus says this to them. Let not your hearts be troubled. We blow through this verse. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Really, Jesus. That's what you're throwing out? And He throws out one of the greatest principles from the Scripture from beginning to end. And here it is. On your notes that you have. The plan. The plan for us is very simply to trust God. It has always been God's plan to have us trust Him. You read in the Old Testament, it was the same thing. A simple trust in Him. But I want you this morning to look and see how accurate the Scripture is. Let not your hearts be troubled. Your heart ever been troubled? Do you know what it's like to lay awake at night and replay something in your mind? Do you know what it's like to worry about going for a medical test the next day? Do you know what it's like to have some animosity between your kids or you and somebody else and a friend and a husband or a spouse? Do you know what that's like? Yes, you do. Do you know what it like? You know what it's like to get up in the morning and hate to go to work? Yes, you do. You get the idea. Let not your hearts be troubled. And I love how accurate the Scripture is. In fact, it could read this way. Let not your heart be troubled, or this. It could be this. Set your heart at ease. Or it could be this. Stop being troubled. All of those interpretations of this Greek would have been perfect just like that. And the accuracy here is this. The heart gets troubled. The heart gets upset. Everybody in here been there? Everybody knows what it's like? You all been through a breakup? All been through friendships that bust? You all been through all that kind of stuff? Financial problems? Okay, you get the idea. The accuracy here is that it gets me. The Scripture gets me. Let not your hearts be troubled. The innermost part of me, the part that can't rest at night, the part that I can't shut off at night, the part that keeps running, the part that, and maybe for many of us today, when we leave here, the part that keeps spinning and spinning on a particular issue. You know what I'm talking about. And you replay it and replay it. That's the heart. And it gets upset. And it does this kind of thing of a reaction. It gets troubled. I wanted to say this, and I'm not sure I'd write it down if I were you. Maybe you should. Isn't it interesting that the God of the universe wanted to come in and have a relationship with me? Now I'm going to embarrass somebody because that's what I do. Hey, friend, you want to stand up with me and help me here? Those of you who have your cameras, set them on stun. Okay, just stand. Look at this for a minute. Fran and I are friends. A lot of you know that, okay? As you can tell, we work out together. Okay. So, you turn red or you sunburn?
Sunburn.
Okay, good. You're scaring me there. All right, good. Hold my hand. Thank you. That had nothing to do with the illustration. I just like to do that. Okay. Don't dance. If you looked at me and Fran, and just stop all the cultural stereotypes, but if you look at us, you would say this, that Fran and Mike are friends. And in the right culture, by the way, this would be very acceptable for us to do, is we walked around the shopping mall and the stores and, okay, good. But we're saying here, if you saw us, and if you knew us, by the way, and know our relationship, you would, that's right, yeah, it's not working out for him. But you would say that we're together, wouldn't you? We're together, and we're friends. And what's so cool about it is, in our lives together, we choose times that we'll spend time together. Because there's something about us, a chemistry, that we just get along for whatever reason. Let me fix your shirt. Do you do that on purpose or what? Okay, just there you go. Okay, good. So I'm just doing that to be fun. But listen to me. That's as far as it can go with me and him. It's, here it is. It's proximity. We can be together. We can be together. We can sit and study the scripture together. We've got this kind of a relationship. We've had it for a bunch of years now. But the fact of the matter is, Nick, sit down, thank you. Okay. The God of the universe didn't come for this kind of a relationship with me. The God of the universe came for the most intimate relationship that you can think of, which even goes past a marital sexual relationship. The God of the universe came to inhabit me. Not just this on the outside. That's nothing. That's lightweight stuff. That's on the human side. That's all you guys can have. But he actually came to inhabit me. Hold it. In this heart, the inner part of me, the part that feels, the part that gets hurt, the part that gets crushed, the part that gets excited, the God of the universe came to inhabit the innermost sanctum part of me. Hold it. Let me go further. And I'm not a preacher right now. I'm just talking. Also in that part of my life, wherever we always go here, but I think it's more like right here. In here, by the way, is the stuff you can see and the stuff you think about me. But also in here is, here it is. Everybody looking? Can't see it, but here it is. The dark side of me. There's a percentage, there's a dark side of me. Oh, hold it, stop. It's the place where I keep my secret stash that nobody knows about. Shh. It's kind of like my wife who hides her chocolate and thinks I don't know where it is. Okay, you get the idea. It's a secret stash, and it's way back here, and I would never let you see this. Because here is where I keep, I hate this term, but here it is. Here's where I keep my pet sins. And the pet things I like to think about. When I'm tired, when I'm lonely, when I'm you fill in the blank, I like to think about these things and muse on these things. And God doesn't see them because they're private. Oh, really? Truth of the matter is the God of the universe came to inhabit the whole being of you in the deepest place possible. And that includes the dark places and the sinful tendencies that you know that you have, that I have. And that's where he came to inhabit. Because that's where the best influence takes place. Where he can inhabit, he can dwell and be Lord of. And truthfully, what it is this. When your heart is troubled, it is moving. This you might want to write down. It is moving the focus from the situation itself to God in that situation. Listen carefully to me. When your hearts are troubled, it is moving the focus from the situation, the one that's bothering you, etc., to God in that situation. That means this. You've had a pet sin for 25 years, and you know what it is. You love to surf the internet. You need to think about this. You feel you got to do this. You've got a right to do it, and you know it doesn't honor God. And God comes into the situation if you let him. And you let him permeate that, and he will realign that and remove it as needed so that you can be his creature and move on. It is truly moving the focus from the situation to God in that situation. And this word trust, which I did some work on in the past couple of weeks, you're going to love this definition. This is so complicated from the Greek. Here it is. It means to rely on totally. That it? Yeah, that's it. Nothing fancy. Greek's not all that complicated sometimes. The word trust means to rely in or on totally, meaning for everything. And that's where it's different. And the fact of the matter is that our God has proven Himself over and over that He is reliable. Look at any of those words up there. Our God has proved that He is one who's a God of action, of faith and honesty and dependability and truth. He is somebody that can be trusted. And you know what? When you trust someone, it opens all kind of doors. It changes how you act and react and talk and respond with them. In fact, actually, if you get that way in a relationship with somebody, it is the highest form of human relationship. And here it is now. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Trust in me. The highest form of relationship that we can have. And it's not that Mike is standing on a tabletop and declaring that. It is the God of the universe, who I never can figure this out, wants to have relationship with me. The God of the universe has been the one since the beginning that's been shouting, look, believe in me. Believe in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Because in this human existence, they're going to be troubled. But believe in God, believe also in me. That is just absolutely dynamic. Now, with that said on your note sheet, there are several great reasons to trust God that are exhibited in here. The first one is this, and that is that God's house is real, so we have confidence. Look at verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you? I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you, some of your verses go. And I go to prepare a place for you. You know, I've got in my life people that I trust. I've got a doctor who's not 60% trustworthy. I believe he's 100% and he's honest, all right? I don't like what he says half the time. And that's when I walk out and go, eh, sorry, David. But the point of the matter is, what do they know? And but I've also got a financial planner for my retirement. Boy, I wish he'd have a good day. But point of the matter is, I trust him because he's reliable. I've got an insurance agent. I've got a realtor that I trust. People like that because of their track record, their honesty, their integrity, their company, their plans. You know, look, they're the good hands people. Got it? All right. Don't you want to get a piece of the rock? Okay, you can do that. Don't you want to get under their umbrella? Don't you see the ads like I do? Okay, maybe you don't. Let's do reason number one. God's house is real, so have confidence. Jesus now talks about heaven. He now talks about heaven just like he talks about his hometown. You know what? We had two stoplights. One was red, one was green. It was really cool. Yellow in the middle. And then we had the store down here, and then we had the drugstore over there. And he talks of heaven just like his hometown, factually and accurately, so that I have the confidence that I know he's been there and he knows what he's talking about. I can't see the unseen world. Sometimes I see the effects of it everywhere, but I can't see into it. But Jesus can. And I have the confidence because he already has. And everyone, if we could take a break from writing, I want you to catch this morning. Either way you look, you'll get it, okay? There, this famous verse, I came to Christ as a middle teenager at about 15, just to put it in perspective. And from early on, I was a kid that didn't have really much of anything. And I don't talk about that much here. There's no need to. But literally, we're talking no food, no clothes type, not having a lot of stuff, okay? That kind of thing. And the fact of the matter is, when I first learned this verse, I learned it in a version and went like this, okay? In my Father's house are many? Very good. You learned it too, didn't you? And I learned that mansions. And I kind of went like this for the kid that didn't have a lot. In my mansion, there were going to be servants. Some of you were going to be servant in my house, okay? And in my house were many mansions. And my mansion was going to be huge. My mansion was going to be bigger than the Queen of England's that I see on TV, whatever that's called, a castle or whatever, okay? I'm going to have that with servants and puppies and all kinds of neat stuff. Truth of the matter is, our Western culture loved that interpretation of mansions. Because what it meant was this. I'm going to get more stuff. I've already got eternal life, and I've got a lot of stuff, even though I don't have much, but I still got a lot compared to the rest of the world. But I'm going to get more stuff, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to get more stuff. And I turn on the TV preachers who use this, and they're telling me I'm going to get more stuff, because it's all about me going to get more stuff. How much more stuff do you need? Want? You need to look at this in the cultural understanding, and then this becomes out and out exciting about the fact that God's house is real. In the culture, a son would go and get a wife. And typically in this culture, the son would marry the wife. You're getting this, okay? And have kids. And the dad, who was typically the plantation owner or the farm, etc., an agricultural place, the herder, the shepherd, whatever, would then take his house and add to the house other rooms, almost build another house attached to his house. And the son always knew that he could come back to the father, and the father would assure him, you have a place here. This is your place. This is where you work. This is where you belong, and I'll take care of you, and blah, blah, blah. You come and you work and learn the family business. And it really has that as a background here, because the English Standard Version actually translates this very well. The word here is this: in my father's house are many rooms. Or let me keep going here. Here's other words that will help you, okay? In my father's house are many places, residences, dwellings, spaces for living. And the word indicates this: a space for you. Hey, you have space for me at your party? I wouldn't ask anybody that, but you get the idea. Chris, you have space at your party? Can I fit into your family party? You got space for me? And Chris would go like this: nah, man. No, not you. Not at this time. Okay, that's the way. We'll have a family vote. Okay. But the fact of the matter, Chris goes, oh, we got room for you. Hey, Chris, you got room on your boat for me? I'd like to go out with you. Yeah, we got room for you. And that's what this expresses. There's room for you. There's a place here, a place of living, and you are welcome here. You are part, hold it, you are part of my house and my kingdom, and that's why I've got a place for you. I've got a spot for you. It gives me confidence and lets me know that God's house is real. It's a real place. Jesus has prepared a place for us, the ones who believe in Him as Savior, a place with Him forever. And listen, keep the illustration going of the plantation that is safe and is secure, and nobody can take you from there, and nobody's going to harm you because I am watching over you. Catch this. This is exciting because in God's house, it will always be that way. Ah! It's not going to change. That one fact, and we're going to wrap it up here in a little bit, that one fact to me gives me the greatest confidence about believing in God. The fact that Jesus Christ was there for eternity. And Jesus Christ talks about the fact that in my Father's house there are many rooms, dwelling places, living spaces, and there's a spot there for you. And there always will be for eternity. That's the one person in the universe that I want to follow. That's the confidence. And Jesus says so much so that if it weren't so, I would have told you. But I'm telling you the truth. And this promotes my trust in Him and the words that you have on the board. We have inside word, inside information to what's going on in the next life, which for all of us will be in just a brief amount of time. We'll be in that spot. That's exciting. Second thing I want you to see here, there's a second reason. And it comes from verses 3 to 6, and it's this: that Christ desires to take me to Himself. He wants to be with me. Ladies, I am not a female, but I can tell you that I've talked to a lot of females. And I can tell you this: when the first blush of love starts to strike you ladies, and I'm in conversation because, you know, you got to tell your pastor this kind of stuff. You ladies are all excited about that guy and you think it might really go somewhere. This may be the one. Remember those days? Anybody? Nobody. Okay. This is not going to be a Valentine's Day here. Okay. A lot of explaining when you get home, ladies, men. Remember, you do remember that. Thank you very much, Shelley. I appreciate that. Do you remember this phrase? He wants to be with me. He wants to be with me. I've looked in the mirror. They don't say this. Oh, okay. I've looked in the mirror. I've looked at myself, and he wants to be with that. Okay? I am so excited. He wants to be with me. Remember that, ladies? Remember what that felt like? Wasn't that cool? Anybody say amen of one woman? Amen. Okay, two. Okay, good. That's like 1%. Fact of the matter is this. Jesus, the God of the universe, wants to be with me. What? And he's been planning from what Ephesians 1 since the before the formation of time to be spending time with me. Jesus comforts us with these words. Look, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. I will take you to myself because I want you to be with me, that where I am you may be also. Oh, that's amazing. Because everybody in here has thought about something this week. And as much as I'm comparing it to male-female relationships, let me make it real. If you haven't thought this in the past week or two, then something's probably the matter with you. I guarantee you've thought about dying. Everybody has. It doesn't matter what age you are. We all think about, how's that going to happen? What's it like? I have stood right next to dozens of people dying. You shouldn't step on that little hose when you're standing there. But anyway, that's not the point. I figured it out. But I'm making light of a very serious thing. And they're going out. You can count the breaths. And they're dropping per minute. And they're dropping. And they take the what you think might be the last one. And 20, 30 seconds later, they take another one. And you're like, wow. And if you're like me, you're looking at all the lines and the squigglies on the electronics and thinking, wow, is this it? Is this it? That's you. That's me. And we all think about the fact that our day comes when we will pass. And I think there's only one thing you need to remind me of at that time. And that's this. Jesus said, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you can be also. Jesus desires to be with me. And whether he privately escorts me to be with him at this time into his presence at the moment of my death, or right now in 10 minutes, parts the clouds and comes back and gets me. Either way, he comes and he gets me so that I can be with him. That's pretty exciting stuff. And now we get the key information in this in verse 6. Look, Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know the way to where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus says this verse you all have got memorized. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the real way, the real truth, the real life. I want you to take 30 seconds. Can you do this right now? You're sitting at that table. Nothing. Just think for a minute. Jesus says he's the way, the truth, and the life. Way, truth, life. Which one of those words, way, truth, or life, really, really, really encourages you? Talk at your table now for 30 seconds. Which one of those words really inspires you or speaks to you? Way, truth, life. Okay, stop. It was words without a story. What did you hear at your table? Did a word come out that really stuck? Way, truth, or life? Maria, what came out at your table? Life and truth. Okay. Over here, what'd you hear? Truth. That's a big deal, isn't it? You guys get something? Truth again? Life. You guys come up with a word? Way, truth?
Truth.
I am kind of amazed at this. Go, Jerry.
I have trouble choosing one.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
You guys come up with one? Okay. Back there, Owen's table? Truth again. Here? Life. I would have gone that way. Okay, back there? Oh, well, yeah, okay, good. I'm not taking you guys out for ice cream later. You're going to say all of them. Okay, here we go. Listen carefully. Let me wrap this up for you, okay? We have a God who loves us so much that he shows us the way to himself through Jesus. We have a God who loves us so much that he shows us the truth about himself through Jesus. We have a God who loves us so much that he wouldn't leave us in the dark, but gives us life, eternal life forever through Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus Christ accomplished. Listen, Jesus Christ did not claim to know the way. You might want to write this down. Jesus Christ did not claim to know the way. You ever notice that? But he claimed to be the way. Okay? Not that I know the way and I might tell you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray. With your head bowed, Jesus is the only real and authorized representative of God to us. In fact, I don't know if you think about this that much, but from the ministry in the Old Testament that Jesus had, through the ministry in the New Testament that Jesus had, Jesus exegeted the Father, explained the Father to us, that we might understand God. Jesus is the only one in the universe worthy of our complete trust and dependence for all of life's matters. Christ had a plan. And the plan that we read about this morning, that for those with troubled hearts, trust Him. And we make that conscious choice to choose Him every day, no matter what's going on in our lives. Because as the personal God that He is, He cares about all of the facets of every part of our life and every part of our existence, because He's the way, the real way, the real truth, and the real life. Not just for eternity, but for now. With your head bowed, let me ask you this. Don't respond, don't speak out, don't raise your hand, don't embarrass yourself. But if you, like me, have things inside of you and things outside of you that you're dealing with that are just difficult and tough, things that cause you real consternation and pain and hurt, the question I'd have for me and you this morning is this. Do you really trust Him as the way, the truth, and the life? Do you really trust Him for all of those matters in your innermost being? With every single matter that upsets you and bothers you, have you trusted Him with those matters? The answer is probably, I haven't even thought that way. And this morning, while we're quiet, would you do that? As the Holy Spirit is bringing stuff to mind right now about your life that you haven't truly, completely trusted to Him, would you right now do exactly that and name it to Him and trust Him with these things? Could be a health area, financial area, relational area. Could you trust Him with those things that are troubling you right now? For He is trustworthy. Our Father, You hear our prayers, and that's what we thank You for. Ever available. Father, You inhabit us. You indwell us. Father, You are within our very core and substance of our being through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And how we thank You for Jesus, who is the real way, the real truth, and the real life. Amen.